Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I'm getting back from Las Vegas, where I've been not really sunning myself. I like to say I'm sunning myself. I've been defending myself from the wind and the desert winds out here at the Wynn and the Encore Pool. I'm at the Maryland Party. I'm going to be at Fadley's next Wednesday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're also going to be up in Carroll County at Greenmount Station in Hempstead on the 5th of June. All of that brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, along with our friends at Coppin State and Liberty Pure Solutions and Curio Wellness and everybody putting us out on the road to Las Vegas, where I left on Saturday morning and Brandon Hyde was the manager, and I landed in Las Vegas and Tony Manzalino was the manager. Luke Jones still manages all of our baseball coverage, even the Orioles heading out to Milwaukee here this week and the holiday week ahead and a new manager. Luke, you and I have done a pretty good hour on the Brandon Hyde, Mike Elias, David Rubenstein. Is this the right move to fire the manager and how the manager got fired? Then they went out and played baseball on Saturday and Sunday, and the
Not
signs
well.
of the signs of life just aren't there. And we've talked so much about the big picture, big picture. I'll get to Katie Griggs and sales and ticket sales and people cutting their masks and all of that stuff, but he still got to go play 100 baseball games, man.
Well, and that's I remember when we were talking about this thing when there were 140 games left, so 22 games in, and at that point they weren't off to a good start, but it was much earlier, and I even wrote at BaltimorePositive.com how that's either a blessing or you hope it's not a curse, because if you aren't meant to turn it around and you just are what you are, and let's face it, this is a bad baseball team. Short of them running off like 20 wins in 23 games or something like that, and then suddenly we're having a very different conversation in the third week of June. I mean, they're bad. So when you have to come to that realization, and as we talked about in our previous segment, talking about the fallout of the Brandon Hyde dismissal and what it means and all that, that once the dust settles, you still have to play. Still have 4 more months of baseball, 4+. And you have to figure out what you're going to make of this thing. And that's not to say talking in terms of turning things around to the point where you're going to be a wild card team or anything like that. I think any realistic expectation of that has very much sailed. And to your point, you remove Brandon Hyde, and then, well, the Tony Manzalino era starts looking exactly like the end of the Brandon Hyde era, because, well, more specifically on Saturday and Sunday, I mean, Kyle Gibson can't even get it out of the first inning on Saturday. He's DFA'd the following morning. And Zach Eflin, who normally you look at as a guy you'd say, hey, we've got a real shot to win, he turns in his worst start in probably 6 or 7 years, and easily the worst as an Oriole. So you look at that and you just say, I mean, where do you go from here? And it's where Tony Manzalino has his work cut out for him. I mean, he's a smart guy. He went to Vanderbilt. He played minor league ball, was in the Indian slash Guardians system as a coach for quite a few years. And, he comes to the Orioles in 2021 as third base coach. And but you're still talking about someone he's a year older than me. I mean, he's not, he's not someone who has a lot of major league coaching experience, let alone talking about being a manager. So I think he's got his work cut out for him. The rest of this coaching staff has their work cut out for them. And you know what? We're going to find out some more about these young guys, because as much as, I don't want to make too much of the idea that if they play better, then everything's fine the rest of the way, but you're going to be in a position where the ballpark's not going to have much energy, because I think you're going to see the impact of attendance, especially as we talk about weeknight games and games that don't have, bobbleheads and
And by the
giveaways and all
way,
that.
they're back at the point where they're going to have to do the $5 and $6 tickets on
Absolutely. I
StubHub
mean,
just to get anybody to come
sure.
down there. And
Sure. But even that, I mean, again, I said this a little bit tongue in cheek on, talking about Sunday, and, I posted on social media, the Orioles are a disaster right now, but hey, at least it's a beautiful day. Like that whole sentiment. I mean, You know, man, it's summertime. There are a lot of things to do. We've talked about this in general terms, talking about baseball and its place in Baltimore and in society at large and all the other outlets for entertainment there is. When you have a team like this that is this bad when it wasn't supposed to be, it's one thing to talk about the rebuild era when you expected them to lose
Well, dude,
100
that's the thing
games.
here. You know, David Rubenstein was going to save everything
This
and
is
Angelos was
shocking.
dead and like all of that. And they really are right back where they were with Angelos
They're
without and without any report card on Rubenstein, which is part of like
sure. I mean,
firing
who
high.
knows?
I all and this is what I said to very astute people in Las Vegas, right? I'm out here at this crazy Maryland party. I said, look, man, the guy's a billionaire. Nobody knew who he was before 18 months ago. He's now made his own bobblehead. He sits behind home plate at games. He's buddies with Cal Ripken. He's a celebrity, right? If he was out here at this Maryland party, everybody would say, oh, look, there's the Orioles owner. He might have been sitting here 2 years ago as a land development guy out here with other very wealthy people at the pool, and he just would have been a dude. He manages money. He's a fun guy, you know, great. Here he's from Baltimore. Here he's really wealthy. Great. Now he's David Rubenstein, famous guy, selfie guy, autograph guy, bobblehead guy, all of that. I don't know what that means, but I don't think it's a good sign. And I've said that to people. I don't think this new group coming in 15 months into this, that there have been really good signs of anything, of leadership, of stadium development, of baseball development, of recruiting fans, of seeing things being done dramatically differently than they were being done during the Angelos era. There's no feeling that you're down there like, oh, this is different. Look at what the new people are doing. They have ideas. They have this. They have that. They have this exciting woman who ran soccer and worked in Seattle, and we're getting an all-star. Blah, blah, blah. I don't feel any of that on the outside, and then on the inside, it's rotten to the core on the team right now. And that is just something that they thought they had at that in the bag. What they had in the bag was they were going to have a competitive baseball team here as a ramp and a runway for whatever their goals and dreams were with the team. Whatever they thought they were going to do, they thought part of that would be maybe not winning a World Series, maybe not even having success in October, but having a really good baseball team to put on the field in May and June and July and August and hope for the best in September. But like they thought they had a going concern, and now everyone I'm talked to, see, this is the problem with Katie Griggs and David Rubenstein and the Whistler and these other people. They don't have 1988. They don't have the Peter Angelos experience. They don't have Mike Flanagan's suicide. They don't have all of those bad years. They don't have Davey Johnson's fire. All the awful things that have, whatever's happened here that is perceived as awful that's happened, that doesn't stick to Rubenstein and Katie Griggs, and doesn't stick even stick to Mike Elias for the most part, because most of what he did was glorious in that it got better. Now everything is under review. Like my press credential, by the way. Now everything's under review for them. And I mean, you've just murdered them for an hour about how everything's awful, everything's awful, everything's awful. The notion that this isn't Peter Angelos gives me hope that, well, maybe these people will figure it out. But I don't see any signs of life in this. And I don't know what that bold leadership thing would be that next Monday they have fired Mike Elias and hired, and I'm making this up, Pat Gillick to be the general manager and Buck Showalter to be the manager, because it feels good. It feels closer to them hiring Cal Ripken to be the director of baseball operations, even though he's too smart to probably take that job, and Bill Ripken to be the manager, because it'll make everybody feel good. You know what I mean? Because at this point, Mr. Rubenstein just wants to make people feel good. Because right now he's hiding because he doesn't feel good.
I All that is there, and I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I'm trying to focus more on the here and now with Mike Elias as the general manager until he's not, right? Whenever that might be,
All
whether
I'm saying is it could be worse.
and
And it
they're not going
has
to do
been
it now.
worse around here. It has
Sure.
been worse.
I mean, it has, but we're starting to split hairs because it's really bad right now. A couple things. And I've even said, I said this to you, even talking about this last week. I mean, There are plenty of people down on Mike Elias, and rightfully so. I'm down on Mike Elias, to call a spade a spade. You're not going to move on from your general manager 2 months before the draft, right? I mean, we know that. That would be ownership malpractice. To me, and I wrote this a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this in these terms a couple of weeks ago. From the time that their record was at a point where you're starting to say, it's getting late
Can
early.
I
It'll
say
be.
something about the malpractice real quick? Just sort of like, then you're going to let him run a draft, even though he's lame duck. We've seen that before too, right? So there really is that too. I'm just
Oh,
saying. I just.
but he's not lame duck. I don't th I don't I don't I would reject that right now. I'm not saying he's lame duck. I'm saying that even if you are Rubenstein and the principal ownership group, even if you are privately starting to have conversations wondering about that, Mike Elias, you're not telling him he's not in the last year of his deal, anything like we assume all that kind of st talk. So But my point is, logistically speaking, you're not going to do that. Same with the
They're
trade
going to pay
deadline.
Kyle Gibson more to go away than they're going to have to pay Mike Elias or Brandon Hyde because they weren't making that much money. This isn't
But
firing Brian Billick when there's $20 million on the
I mean,
deal.
it's
It
not.
isn't.
At the same time, I mean, I'd be talking out of my you know what. I'm saying that because I don't know. I'm guessing Mike Elias was making more money on his current deal than he did in his first deal. And let's be clear, they had to the Angelos family, they had to pay him. I'm guessing he got more than your typical entry level general manager, because
Combat
you and I
pay.
both know how messed up the place was, right? And at that point in time, and we can debate how much better it is, if it's better now, all that.
Well,
But
that really is a
the point
legitimate
is,
question now. Is it any better?
no,
And what's
and that's
going to
fair.
make it
No,
better? And what's going to make this guy's decisions better than
but
the
again,
Angelos family?
so I, all of that's there. All of that is the dark cloud hanging over this. But I still want to try to focus on the present. So if you're Elias, if you're the Orioles, everyone who's left at this point in time, everyone but Brandon Hyde, who's now gone, and Tim Cousins as well, who was basically his confidant, closest friend on the team. I don't know how exactly that went down with him being dismissed too. I'm guessing it was kind of, do you really want to hang around, or did he tell them to kick rocks and, he quit? I don't know. Again, Mike Elias hasn't taken questions, so we can't ask about it. We haven't asked about any of these things yet. But your objective the rest of the way is not to salvage 2025. The worst thing they could do would be to start making moves that are singularly focused on trying to make things better this year at the expense of next year and beyond. Now, that said, we get to the trade deadline. If there's opportunities to be a buyer and a seller in the way that, okay, you might trade off a Cedric Mullins because you're not going to extend him, but you might acquire a pitcher that is kind of like this year's version of Zach Eflin, someone who's under contract for next year too. I think they should absolutely be in that market. But let me drill down on this a little more. If this thing is going to be salvaged, if this thing is going to be righted and they're back on track next year, and that doesn't mean they're winning the World Series next year, but let's say they're back on track to where we thought they were going to be this year, which I wasn't ex picking them to win the World Series, but I thought they were going to be a
By the
playoff
way, that's
team.
not hard to do, right? Because like
It's not impossible.
Kowser, Westberg, that all these
And
guys
three wild cards, right? I mean,
they're all coming back to
sure.
play next year. I mean, Gunnar Henderson's
Sure.
going to get 600 at-bats in an Oriole uniform next year and 300 more this year, 400 more,
Yeah,
whatever it is.
absolutely.
So they're going to play baseball, the young guys. This is going to be changing out the tires on Gibson and Morton and some of that nonsense. But the core of this team, as it will come together next year, will have different pitchers.
You hope
Mr. Angelos, Mr.
better, hopefully.
Rubenstein is going to have to come through with some money to make that happen for this to be competitive. But if they win next year, if they win the 88, 90 games, which is, a tick up from being a good, they're not a great team, but you're a good team. 88, 90 wins.
You're back in the
If you're
conversation, right?
competitive like that, it's going to be the guys that stink right now, in large part,
Exactly.
who's
And
gotten better. Right. Yes.
that's why, to me, you have to leave no stone unturned. And that's why it might be you're looking right now to perhaps bring in a hitting coach that, I mean, the Mariners did it with Edgar Martinez late last summer. and go look at what their offenses look like this year compared to last year. And that's just an example, right? Brett Boone was hired by the Rangers. We're going to see how that works out. That's still relatively fresh. But whatever it is, whether it's that, whether it's pro scouting, whether it's I don't a different man, they hire a manager in August in the way that the Orioles did with Buck Showalter back in 2010. Remember, Juan Samuel ran the team for 2 months after Tremblay was canned. They weren't any better. Not that, I'm not wasn't not trashing Juan Samuel. I mean, but Buck Showalter came in early August and they played inspired baseball the rest of the year. What's kind of ironic is, and I'm not saying Buck himself, but I almost feel like that's the kind of manager they need at this point. Maybe someone who carries some cachet. I wouldn't be the first person that throws this out there, and I'm not even the biggest fan of this guy in the world, but a Joe Maddon kind of guy, right? I mean, someone who does carry some cachet with some name recognition, has won a World Series. I think for me, and again, I have no idea. Again, Michael Elias hasn't answered questions, so we don't know. I don't know what the timeline is. Are you going to absolutely 100% wait till the end of the season to hire a manager because you do have a bigger pool of candidates to draw from? Or do you at least do a preliminary search over the course of the summer? And if there's someone you fall in love with that you feel could be the right fit and is the right guy, knows enough about analytics, but brings the human element in a way that maybe this young team really needs, and for whatever reason, it wasn't happening anymore with Brandon Hyde in that way, that you hire a manager in August. But whatever the case may be, everything in my mind is about getting this young core back on track. Like I said, Jackson Holliday has been terrific for the last month. Go look at his numbers since late April. He's been, about April 20th, 25th, somewhere like that, coming up on almost a month. He's been really good over that time. Made a really nice defensive play on Sunday, albeit in a game that people had tuned out because they were down 7-0 two innings in. Hit another home run. He's looking really good. Gunnar's been streaky, but Gunnar's body of work this year isn't so like that it's bad, that it's alarming, and oh my gosh.
Well,
Well,
where's he going to be at the end of the year? Is Gunnar going to hit
sure.
258 with 28 home runs, or
And some of that's
is he
just
going to hit 294 with 34 home runs?
sure. And some of that is like they are young that you have to let them play. But in the case of an Adley Rutschman, in the case of Heston Kjerstad, in the case of Kobe Mayo, who they need to get back up here at some point, especially if this is a lost season, you've got to get him to the majors and just let him play and sink or swim. Or you're going to trade him, but
And
one
the
or
other
the
thing is
other.
work with these kids every day, and who's going to be the
And
ones
right.
working
And
with them,
that's
right?
so whatever it is, whether it's Tony Mancelino doing a good job, and maybe he shocks everyone. I don't know. I mean, I
Do
don't
you
have
think
that
they
expectation.
hire a manager next week? Or do, I'm only
That's
asking,
what
people are asking me these
I mean,
questions. I'm
not
like,
next week.
I have no, with Rubinstein, I have no idea. And again, Mr. Big Money Pants and Mr. I Love Myself and I Want a Bobblehead and all that. He might just be picking up the phone and saying, "Get Joe Maddon.
I mean, maybe he is. I
Let's
don't
get a Hall
know.
of Fame something something to come in here because we need to make this thing smell better right away." Tony Manziel, we're not going to lose 80 more games with him. Let's go get Buck. Call Buck. I hear they like Buck here. Buck will help us sell tickets, right? Buck will come in and say the right things. Luke likes Buck. The reporters like Buck. Buck can come in here and calm things down a little bit. I don't know. All of that to me feels desperate, but that's where they are. They're in a desperate position right now. They really are.
But that's where, see, it's not about, first of all, no manager selling tickets. I mean, Buck Showalter, maybe the
No,
first
I
week,
just think trying to get
but
over with the fans here. Just trying to get over with the fans. I think that's their reality show TV now is.
I think that's a misguided way of looking at
I don't
things.
disagree with you. But I think that could, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't think it's smart. If I
No,
owned the
I
team, I
am.
wouldn't do that. But I'm not Mr. Rubenstein. I wouldn't have made my own bobblehead a month ago either. And I don't know that I would have just sacked a manager on Saturday afternoon. Like, I don't know. I don't, I am a little more patient and I'm a little, you know me a long time, man. I'm a little less concerned with window dressing. I'm much more concerned with, what's really happening than with the perception. I mean, the Ravens live their whole world in the perception of, how can we get, how can we lie and get people to perceive we're something we're not? I don't know what the Orioles are. They are what they are. They're a bad team. But now it's how are they going to do outreach, not just to make the team better, but to sanitize the season a little bit,
They
because
they've got to
you
fix the
don't want to
baseball
run and
team.
hide. You still have tickets to sell next week. You're still putting the game out there. Like having Buck Showalter there in the mind of the owner might be better than having Tony Mancelino there, is all I'm saying. And that's what you mentioned, the Juan Samuel thing. That was very weird that year when Buck just showed up in the middle of August, right? Like
Yeah,
that
it
was
doesn't happen.
strange.
It doesn't happen very
That's
often like
why I
that.
think, like, you're thinking, like, well, Mancelino's going to manage them the rest of the year. I don't know. I don't.
Oh,
I.
I don't know. Well, that's one question. That'd be one of my first questions for Michael Elias. I mean, Mansell, he was asked about it after Saturday's game. He wasn't made available before the game, so you have this awkwardness of you lost. So he's doing a tiny bit of post game, but mainly like, oh, you're the interim manager of the Baltimore Orioles now. We've talked to you. I mean, even the beat guys that are traveling with the team and covering 125 games a year, they only have so many conversations with the third base coach. You know what I mean? You have some. It's not like he's a
I don't
complete
know the sound
stranger.
of his voice as an example.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a nice guy. Like I said, he's a Vanderbilt guy. He's smart. Like, but is he ready to be the manager of a Major League Baseball team? Well, we're gonna find out. I mean, I don't say that to be
Yeah,
disrespectful.
what
I
are
don't.
his qualifications at this
Well,
point, right? Like in that
right,
way.
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he certainly didn't have the amount of coaching experience of a Brandon Hyde, even,
How about this? I don't want to be a jerk, but let me play one on the radio for a minute. If Tony Mancelino were fired tomorrow, would anybody hire him to be their manager? Probably not, right?
No.
No, okay. Well, there you go. So that's why I'm saying that I can say that out loud without, I don't know Tony, and I'm sure he's a great baseball man. You don't get to be in that position without understanding the game and all that. I'm just saying the perception of it is, we're going to fire John Harbaugh and make Zach Orr the head coach. Well, no one would hire Zach Orr to be their head coach. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where it is. And that's why I'm thinking that they will be looking for a splash in the way that the Buck thing happened.
You got to hire the right guy. And they might. And if they do, then I have no faith that this organization will ever rise to the level that it was 50 years
Well,
ago,
the way
ever
they
again,
fired
man.
him on Saturday was clownish, right? They fire him an hour before the game. They don't make the other guy available. The
I mean,
general
it was
manager's
4 hours
not
before the
there. The
game,
owner's
but
not
yeah, they
there.
didn't.
Yeah, it was a very, very sloppy, clownish firing on Saturday. It really
I mean, they
was,
just put out a
right?
press release and they, the general manager makes a statement about the move and then isn't available to reporters the rest of the weekend. I think that's
Weak.
it's weak.
It's
I
weak.
agree. I agree. It's weak. But whatever they do, whether it's Mancelino the rest of the year, whether it's hire Buck Showalter or Joe Maddon or you try to see if you can bring Earl Weaver back from the, I mean, like whatever scheme you have in your mind, anyone listening, whoever they want to be
Let's
manager,
hire
they do
Rick
that.
Dempsey. Let's hire Bill
Whatever it
Ripken, right?
is,
Yeah.
whoever it is, whatever the combination is, even if it's Mike Elias saying, I'm going to become the field manager, like whatever crazy concoction you could come up with, they've got to get this young core back on track or no one survives. Not Elias, none of the coaches, no one survives because that's their only hope. Because otherwise, you're back where you were 6 years ago and you're going through a rebuild again. And
If their next best hope is some 19-year-old, 18-year-old player who's graduating next week, if that's their next best hope, then they have lost a generation. They might as well burn the
I mean,
baby with
they've
the
already, I
bathwater.
mean, let's face it. I mean, I know I'm a broken record about this. Like, I'm going to be 42 years old in October. I grew up reading about and watching the Miracles on 33rd Street, all the Orioles home videos back then when VCRs were still a thing, and reading about all the books and loving the celebrations and all that, whether it was the final weekend at Memorial Stadium or all the different celebrations in the 90s and through the 2000s, you know, the first decade of the 2000s, when the only way they could get people excited was to bring the old timers back and celebrate, you know, some anniversary of something that happened before. But I mean, we're talking about 4 decades plus, not a single World Series appearance, not a single pennant, 3 ALCS appearances. I mean, you know, I went through with you how I kind of went through season by season, going over the last 42 years and how many of those years I would even say were good or even fine. And, you know, you're talking about 10 or 15 years out of all of those where you would say, you know, they were okay to good. You know, the rest of it, they were bad or irrelevant or plain terrible. So I think that's where there's so much frustration at this point now, when most recently, after what happened at the end of the Buck Dan Duquette era, you know, 2018, where it crashed and burned, and you know, it was burned down to the studs, you know, the foundation was completely burnt down at that point, and by their own doing. Like, they, you know, they could have traded Manny Machado a year earlier than
Well, and
they
again,
did,
I went
and
through
all
this
that.
earlier, but you know,
Sure.
they allowed Duquette to make the
They did.
to make bad
They did,
deals at the end,
but I that's not but that was an expiring contract, all that. Again, it's not apple, you know, it's not apples to apples with Elias, but it is a different scenario in the sense that it's a new ownership group. There's an unknown there. These are guys that they did not hire. They came on board. They thought everything was great. You know, I've used the analogy. I think both of us have talked about this in terms of the new ownership group talked, you know, they came in thinking that they had bought a Ferrari, and suddenly, you know, regardless of all the other non-baseball questions about the organization and the business side and all that, but at least you thought the baseball was, I mean, just humming, absolutely humming. And now, a year later, they're where they are, but they've got to fix this. You've got to fix Adley Rutschman. I think he can be fixed. I mean, he was an all-star player for 2 years, and then it's just like overnight, he's just become this guy that has been replacement level. It's been better this year than last year, if you look at some of the walk rate,
But not by
swing
much,
decisions,
but not
stuff
by
like that.
much.
But no, it's been better, but not
Good
anywhere where
enough.
it needs to be, right? So I put it this way. The fact that you and I have to debate that point speaks to the pro how big of a problem it is, that I shouldn't have to look so hard to look for positive signs for Adley Rutschman, right? So you look at him, you know, I mean, again, Gunnar Henderson, he's the guy that I worry about the least right now. It doesn't mean that I don't have any concerns about him. Mainly, he's really struggled big time against left-handed pitching, big time. You know,
Well, they
Jackson
all
Holliday's
have.
trending. Well, yeah, and fair point, fair point. But he's the guy you're hoping is, like, you know, the face, right? That your biggest star. You know, Jackson Holliday, I'm very encouraged by what I'm seeing from him. I'm not ready to anoint him a perennial all-star, but I'm encouraged. But you go down the list of Westberg hurt, Cowser hurt, although Cowser getting closer to going on a rehab assignment. He's starting to hit and he's getting close. You know, Kerstad, who knows? Mayo, who knows? Bisaio looks great at Triple A, but how many of these guys have we said that about? They're good in Triple A and then they get to the majors. I think for me, and you know, I've kind of danced around this a little bit. Whoever the manager is going to be, and I don't, again, I don't even. I haven't thought about it enough to really have an opinion that I feel enough conviction about to share, other than this point. I think it does need to be someone who does have some cachet. It doesn't mean that they've had to have won a World Series, but let's say it's someone that you've heard of, let's say. So, but maybe the biggest point, beyond just it needs to be a good baseball man and a good manager and he needs to know his stuff, you know. And this might sound a little jerkish, but I'd like them to hire a manager who doesn't give two you-know-whats that the fact of all these guys were on the top 100 prospect list. You know, part of me does wonder if
Coddling in some way.
maybe a little bit. And I don't mean that in the sense, because again, that comes across as totally disrespectful to Brandon Hyde, or and it's not him individually I'm saying that about. I'm saying in terms of just the way this whole thing's been built. It's all been about Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, go those names we've talked about. We were talking about Adley Rutschman 3 full years before he ever stepped foot in the majors
But
with the
that speaks
Orioles.
to the problem that Angelos left behind with Matt Wieters and going back to Jeffrey Hammonds. Every draft pick has to save the team in some way. Dude, anybody who watches baseball like you and I knows how hard that is,
But Michael Elias
over a lifetime.
deliberately leaped. Michael Elias deliberately did that, though. I agree with that point as far as the history of the franchise. But this is what he didn't draft pitching. He drafted all these college hitters, and in the case of Henderson and Holiday, high school guys. But hitters, hitting, 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 position players, position players, position players. So when your pitching fails to the degree that it's failing, which is less surprising, as we've said all along, for your offense and your position talent to not look all that impressive, let's just call a spade, that's a major problem. So, what needs to be revamped with your hitting instruction, your hitting philosophy? What needs to be revamped in terms of the coaching staff? What needs to be revamped in terms of the manager? All these different things. I do wonder if there's something to the idea. And again, that doesn't mean that the new manager has to come in and be a jerk. That's not what I'm saying here. But I do want it to be someone that will kind of have fresh eyes here. I wonder, I've said this to you, even going back to last year, when, in the second half, I do wonder if complacency hurt this team in terms of them becoming as good as they became 2 years ago that quickly, right? Rutschman arrived. They started winning almost overnight,
It
right?
felt easy after it was really
I mean,
hard
from
for a
Ju
long
when
time.
they
And it
had
feels
that,
hard again today, by the way.
they had that 10-game winning streak in that July, right before they traded Mancini, and they got over the 500 mark. They were over 500 the rest of the way. They hung around the wild card race, all of that. From that point until last July, things felt really easy, and they exuded this confidence. All the comeback wins. What was the last time this team had a comeback victory? Meaning, like, they were down 2 or 3 runs going into the eighth inning. I mean, you can count on one hand and have fingers
Well, they
left over
haven't
going
had a
back
big
last
hit all
year.
year. They don't hit with
Right.
runners in
And
scoring
the
position.
second half of last year is when that really started. So, I mean, maybe it was a house of cards. Maybe they did play over their heads big time a couple years ago, and it's just come crumbling down because they didn't strengthen the foundation nearly enough,
Or
and
adjust, make adjustments to what's
yeah.
going on to them.
So it's just, but all that being said, and again, I think you're hearing, I'm struggling to contextualize and verbalize all this because, again, I struggle with, I had a lot of conviction about what they were doing. Now, I didn't love the offseason. I made that clear, but I still picked, the joke's on me. I still picked them to win like 88 or 89 games, whatever I ended up deciding. So clearly, I was wrong. You were wrong. Michael Elias obviously was
Well,
wrong.
but
Brandon High was
hang
up.
on a second. Let me defend Brandon Hyde. Let me be his wife for a minute here and say Rodriguez, Couser,
Understood.
Westberg. I mean, go down the line. I mean,
Understood.
they didn't have Eflin
But so
really
many
for
guys
most
have
of
just played
this.
poor. Even the guys that have been available though have played poorly though. That's been for me what has was why,
Kerstad, Mayo, Rutschman,
the
down the line, right?
focus fundamentally poor. Like all these things where you looked at things that you looked at and said, what is Brandon Hyde bringing to the table in terms of getting these guys out of this,
Well, part
right?
of
And
this
that,
is also why is Brandon Hyde playing Mateo in the outfield and stuff? It's like that's what he
sure.
had. He didn't
Well,
buy the he didn't he didn't go
no,
shopping for the ingredients. He just had to
of
he had to make
course.
he's a
Of
chopped
course.
episode, you know?
I understand. And again, anyone who thinks that this was all a major Brandon Hyde problem, I think you're kidding yourself. Am
Well, I
I?
called it scapegoating earlier. That's what I would
And
just call it.
that's fine. Like I said, I was at a point where I think I needed to see a move because their focus and all that has just crumbled. I mean, just
And that's the
crumbled.
manager. We talked about that for
And
3 weeks.
that's what I'm saying. And that was the part I was holding Brandon Hyde accountable for, So, but
Based on
man,
the first two
whatever
games
they.
and the aftermath, it didn't matter.
I know you were traveling. Man, Friday night was, oh my God,
Oh,
it was
no, I watched
awful.
Friday night's game,
Oh, it
buddy.
was
Oh.
awful. It was a
Oh,
disaster.
wait,
That was
Batista
so
not
bad.
even turning around when the winning runs. A
And how about
fast
Rutschman?
guy.
That and Rutschman on the pass ball and not running hard after the ball. And he goes to third. And he would have scored anyway from second on, what was it? I think it was would singled him in. Whoever singled him in would have scored. But those two plays alone, and then, oh yeah, 15 guys left it on base. I mean, that's why I said Brandon Hyde's post game was different that night. I think he knew that it was coming, whether it was going to be the next morning or whether it was going to be in 2 weeks. I think he knew this is not getting better. And he was smart enough to recognize how that typically goes. Typically, when you have that, the manager goes. But whatever they do, they've got to get the arrow trending up on at least most of these young guys. Now, it might turn out that Heston Kjerstad's more of a fourth outfielder bench player. And if that's the case, so be it, right? But
You're
they
saying we got to
need,
call Kyle Stowers a quad A player till he's got a dozen home
right?
runs in the
Hey, I
bigs.
absolutely called Kyle Stowers. And you know what? I'm glad I'm wrong about it because Kyle Stowers is a great kid. I'm happy for him. And again, there you go. Is there something in their player development that they get to triple A, but then these too many of these guys are plateauing? Is there a gap? Is there something that's missing? And that's where they need to look at their manager situation. That's where they need to look at their coaching. That's where they need to look at all their. This team loves to talk about its processes. Well, you need to be critical. You need to be introspective as far as why this has gone as badly as it has, and you need to adjust. I don't think it's too late, but man, if they just go through the motions the rest of the summer and all these young guys continue to either have the arrow sideways or downward, then phew, I don't know.
Yeah, the only
I
thing
don't
that's going to
know.
save this team in the near short term are the five or six guys, and two of
Yeah.
them aren't even in the lineup right now.
Right.
I don't know.
And again,
And with the pitching, I never think Rodriguez or Bradish or any of those guys. Like, I mean, the fact that Batista's back and is okay, okay enough to
yeah.
be the closer on a last place team. Okay, I
I
mean.
mean, I think, I don't think now Rodriguez, with it being multiple things over the last 4 years now, that's a little bit of a different
Well, you're
animal
going to
for
get
me.
position players back. Colton Cowles is going to play in the big leagues
Yeah.
again. I'm not sure Grayson
I mean,
Rodriguez ever throws a pitch. I don't know. I
I
mean,
don't, you know, Bradish in a big picture sense. Now, rest of 2025, is it really even going to matter? Are you even, do you decide to take a more conservative approach with him now, knowing that it's probably not, you know, it's not going to matter wins and losses wise. But it's, for me, it's fine to say, yes, Kyle Bradish is going to be back for 2026. You cannot continue to put all your eggs in the hopes of that. That needs to be, hey, if Kyle Bradish is back and he's our number three next year, awesome. But like, you need to look at this in terms of who's your number one going to be? Who's going to be your number two? Are you going to re-sign Sagano? Are you going to re-sign Eflin? Are you going to trade those guys? Because we're having a different conversation now in terms of, to me, I'd like to extend Zach Eflin, not on a crazy deal, but a 2 or 3 year deal. I think I'd be okay doing that. But if Zach Eflin has no interest in doing that because he sees what the vibe is around these parts right now and he's not feeling that, then guess what you need to do? You got to trade him at the deadline, probably, if you can get something for him, which you should be able to. So, you know, like I said, this is a different type of year now in terms of what you're planning to, but at the top of the list, you got to get these guys right. I mean, you got to fix Adley Rutschman. I think he's, unless he's just bad, which he really fooled all of baseball for 2 years because, I mean, he was a two-time All-Star. He got MVP votes, you know, like fringe down the list MVP votes, but votes nonetheless. You know, is that guy just gone?
Well, his spirit's gone, right? Like his
Yeah, I
body
mean, it's
language,
just,
all of that's
and that,
different.
and you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because I've been talking more in terms of the production. You got to get someone like, whether it is Joe Maddon or Buck, you know, and again, we're using names because people know these names, right? Whoever it is. And you got to get these guys feeling good about themselves again. And that's not to say that Brandon Hyde was like that, it was his fault that it got to that point, but he wasn't getting them out of that, right? And that to me was part of, you got to make a change here. Maybe Tony Mancelino's got some interpersonal skills that we don't know about that will help. It didn't show up the first two games, but maybe so. Who knows? Who the heck knows? Maybe that's why Mike Elias appointed him rather than Buck Britton, like a lot of us thought might be, you know, might be the case. But whoever it is, man, because I do think a lot of it is between the ears for these guys. I absolutely think that's, you know,
It's not their
because
base talent, that's for sure.
I hope not, right? I mean, I agree with you. Like, that's what we've
Well,
all
the base
assumed.
talent was graduating from AAA and being a big league player, and
Yeah.
we've seen Holiday struggle with that. We've seen we you know we clearly seen Cobey Mayo struggle with
Yeah.
that. Heston Kerr's that. All these guys
And
hit the
Gunnar,
cover
the
off the
first couple
ball.
months in
Yeah,
23 was like that. Yeah, so.
and they you know like the any player worth his salt always says
Yeah.
the jump from AAA to big leagues is bigger than
The cr
any yeah
It
five
is.
levels, right?
But the cream's got to rise to the top, right? I mean, we also know that quad A players do exist sometimes. I mean, the Orioles had plenty of them going back, going back to some of the names you mentioned, not Jeffrey Hammonds per se, but, I mean, we all remember some guys that were hyped and Calvin Pickering, right? And guys like that, where, then they got to the majors. It's like, oh, yeah, that's not going to play. So, but whoever it is, man, they've got to get these guys just. You've got to get them feeling good about themselves again. And that's a really easy kind of no-brainer statement to make, but that's a hard question at this point when you're talking about a team that's out of it.
It's hard to stop
And
losing, man. It
it
really is.
is.
And it gets really contagious-y. And they're about to go into a hole here as a franchise in regard to where they wanted to grow everything about the
Yeah.
franchise.
But you know
The
what? This is where.
subscribers, fans, tickets, money, deals, all those things that the city, which is most important to me, all of those things were there. None of that can happen with this brand of baseball. No.
This is where I think it's interesting because this guy's going to be talked about a lot as a, trade deadline expiring. You need to lean on Cedric Mullins right now in terms of he played on some of those really bad teams. I mean, Cedric Mullins was a 30-30 player in 21 when they lost 110 games. So that's not to say that you become, that's not a mindset like, oh, you become a selfish player or anything like that. But how do you motivate yourself to
You've
go out
wheeled
there
your
and
position and you
play your
hit the
best
ball,
baseball?
right? And you hit the
Regardless of what
ball,
the
right?
team results
And
might
you
be
run
right
the
now.
bases
Yeah.
smart and you take advantage of the 4 or 5 at bats you get.
So that's where,
And yeah.
like, and that's not to say that they haven't already been trying to do that, but now when you've crashed and burned to the point where you've cost your manager his job, you've got to be able to bring your own energy. You've got to be able to, as a group, dig yourselves out of this to continue to be professionals and show up and play hard. And start playing better, start winning a few more ball games, start winning a few more series. Is it going to save your season? No, I think that ship has sailed. But to your point, you can avoid not being a 110 loss team like they were a few years back and at least get to the point where you feel in August and September, as guys are coming back from injuries, as we've talked about, you can feel like, hey, this isn't going to happen for us this year, but we're feeling good about where we are as a club going into the offseason. We need our general manager to go out and make some way better moves than he did the last couple off seasons. But if we do that, then we feel like, hey, whoever our manager is going to be, all that, we've got this thing back moving in the right direction again. Easier said than done, but that's the only way, because otherwise, then yeah, we are talking about a new GM and another rebuild. And I can't even, I shudder to think about it because it's that miserable. Thinking about the idea of going through that again, because they're kind of indirectly going through it right now, because they're already at a point now where your season's shot, so you've got to try to make the best of it.
Well, I think the most damning thing you said that the players got the manager fired. That's how bad they've been. And we're going to be monitoring. And Luke's watching the games. I'm watching the games. I'm in Vegas at the Maryland party. Had a technical snafu out here that didn't allow us to do podcast out here. But I'm going to get all the guests on when I get back. We're going to be at Fadley's next Wednesday. Cardinals are in town, and then on the 5th of June, we will be at Greenmount Station in Hampstead, doing it all for the Maryland Lottery. I'll have those scratch offs from. Back to the Future to give away as well. We are going back to the future of bad baseball. We are going to be watching the games, talking about the games, trying to figure out how they pick themselves up and dust themselves off as an organization. First things first, where's the leadership? I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.